My name's Alex Webb. I'm here on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. It's the 30th of August 2009. Could you please state your full name, your date of birth, and where you're from?
Okay, my name's Dave Sternberg. My date of birth is 18th of July 1951. I'm born in Oxford, but I currently live in Warwick.
When did you first hear about the project and what inspired you to take part?
Well, I've followed the artichoke events, I suppose, over the last few years. So I think I first heard about it through an artichoke mailing or website. And I actually don't quite recall how I got into the draw, as it were. I can't remember making a decision, and I was actually quite surprised when I got an email saying that I had a place on the plinth.
Yeah. And what do you plan to do on the plinth?
It's like a sheet, a stretch sheet with a mobile phone number on it, especially for today. And I'm inviting people to ring me whilst I'm on the plinth and talk to me. And I'm aware also there's a webcam, so people might ring from afar as well. There's an answer machine on it as well, so they can leave messages or can send texts.
Okay. So it's quite... You're interacting quite a lot with the crowd, and that's great.
Well, that was the idea. In fact, I was quite impressed just watching this guy with a frisbee. It was something like that. We sort of, the idea of interaction was...
Yeah.
That was our idea, anyway. So.
Have you had any experience with working in a kind of fine arts context before, or any performance arts?
Music, really. I mean, I haven't really... school, I used to be involved in plays and things, but in terms of performance, only music, blues music. Playing harmonica in a sort of blues band, that sort of thing.
Yeah, could you tell us more about that?
I'm not very good at it. I mean, over the years, I've played, I like blues music, and when I've had the chance, I played a bit and really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Really, in terms of fine arts and that, my father was an art and craft teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He was very, very much a fascinating guy. He's dead now, but... this sort of stuff he'd have loved. I mean, he anything to do with sort of conceptual performance art, you know, he loved. So I've had a lifetime of discussing it and debating it. It's a shame, in a way, he's not alive.
Mm.
So sort of, I think he also the collision with Anthony Gormley, the artichoke stuff on the one hand, and then the Anthony Gormley was a happy coincidence.
You were just saying there about, you know, talking about debating, contemporary art. I mean, what's your view on the kind of project and, you know, what is kind of representing and what is your view?
I think it's interesting. I mean, I haven't followed it maybe as close as I could. Just the last couple of days, I've looked to see what's been on the site and see what people do. It's a real challenge for over 2,000 people to think of different things to do.
Mm.
And, you know, I see some people, sort of charity, political, humour, you know, advertising and stuff. It's been fun talking to people about it. Some people, people who read certain newspapers or, you know, listen to certain... radio stations or TV, they know a bit about it.
Mm.
But that's clever. All this stuff is that it gets a debate and then people have their own ideas of what should be done and what they would do if they were there. And I like all that.
Mm.
Though actually the challenge is very difficult. I think it's to engage people's attention. But if only for a moment people start thinking about it, I think it's worth doing.
Mm. Could you tell us a little bit about your background and where you're from and just...
Right, I'm, as I said, I was born in Oxford. My father was Czech and then British, a Jewish refugee who came to England just by luck, by the skin of his teeth at the beginning of the Second World War, and eventually was allowed to join the British Army. And just after the war, he met my mother, who was from Yorkshire, she too is dead. And they married and settled in Oxford. I have a brother and a sister. We grew up in Oxford, went to school there. I eventually went to university in Oxford, then lived in London for a while. And I'm married, I have two grown-up children, Joe and Alice. Traveled a bit, the Far East, Indonesia, and various other places, and worked.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the last few years, my life's changed quite a bit. I, I went and did, I used to work in sort of anti-poverty economic development work, mainly sort of third sector organisations, voluntary sector and local government. All in Britain, this was all in Britain, yeah. And then, but in between, you know, every opportunity to travel I took. But it was raising kids, raising two kids. And Sue, my first wife, and I, we moved to Coventry where we lived, and that's where our children were born and brought up. And then as they were grown up, I got the travelling bug again. And I volunteered to do something called Voluntary Service Overseas, VSO. And I was placed for 2 years in Bangladesh, working for a big non-government organisation, Bangladesh National Women Lawyers Association, which I absolutely adored.
So what kind of, what would be the day-to-day kind of, you know, routine of, I mean, you know, what happened at that job?
Well, in that job, I was based in Dhaka, which is the capital of Bangladesh. And this association, I suppose it's like a free legal aid service for women and children in Bangladesh. And they'd grown from being a small organisation, virtually, you know, organised around the kitchen table, to a really large network of legal advice and support to women and children in Bangladesh. And I was placed there as a sort of a, to help them, as strategic and policy advice, to try and help them become more of the, recognise that they were a much bigger organisation and had to maybe get better systems and sort of a different outlook, more strategic approach to what they did. And it took a while to get accepted. I mean, you know, like white middle-aged man in a Muslim women's organisation. But it was absolutely fantastic. I sort of had a great deal of fun and very, very good work. And also fell in love with Bangladesh, which is a country I knew very little about beforehand.
Tell us about that. I mean, what was the place like?
Well, I mean, Bangladesh, you know, when VSO, Voluntary Service Overseas, suggested that that might be a good match for my skills and what was needed by an organisation there, I really did have to go and look at a map. It's sort of on the right side of India. It's on the east side of India. It was formerly part of India, and then with independence, it became part of Pakistan, and then it became independent in the 1970s. But it's a country that people usually associate with sort of natural disasters, flooding and everything like that. But it's incredibly fertile land and incredibly highly populated. There's something like 140 million people live in Bangladesh. But they can almost feed themselves because it's the meltwater of the big rivers, the Ganges and the Brahmaputra. The Himalaya meltwaters basically flow through Bangladesh.
Yeah.
And those floods make it so fertile. So that's why it's a very verdant country, but absolutely flat delta. Very happy people, but pretty poor. And it's a moderate Muslim country, and fiercely independent, very proud of its democracy, and that it's, although it's predominantly Muslim, 90% Muslim, it's not a Muslim state. It believes in a sort of secular law. But there are all kinds of problems associated with poverty, sometimes the place of women, certainly very poor children. And so there's a lot of work done by wonderful organisations there to help children into school, help women have more satisfactory lives, help people be economically more self-sufficient. And in fact, I've just been there again in the last couple of weeks, gone back to help another organisation there put together a grant application for work. Another non-government organisation putting together, they get support from all around the world, international organisations and charities, and they're very good at working with poor children in slum schools, and now more work with street children and children working in dangerous occupations.
Mm.
So going back, and just came back a fortnight ago, just going back after 3-4 years of not being there just reminded me just what a fantastic country it is, but how enormous the challenges are for them.
I can imagine that must have quite a profound impact on you as a person, you know, travelling to these places and kind of working with these people.
Yeah, and in the 4 years, three and a half years I've been back, it had a huge impact on me, and I found it very difficult coming back to work in the UK.
Mm.
But I've gradually got more comfortable and used to it again. And going back, you know, we just realise how privileged and comfortable we are here. But it's also quite encouraging that there is stuff that we can all do to I don't know, share good practice and stuff.
I was going to say, because, you know, getting into that field of work, I mean, you're out there doing it, you've done something about it. I mean, what was that drive to kind of, you know,
Well, it's complicated, really. I mean, I've always worked in Britain. Since I left university, I've worked in things that are inner city, you know, tackling poverty and working with young people, and then more latterly, more senior jobs in local government with employment-focused stuff. But I always wanted to go to a sort of more developing country, and I was waiting till my children were old enough for me to go. So when Alice, my youngest, was all set up for university, that's when I applied to do VSA and go abroad. So there was some kind of continuity with what I'd done, but it's just categorically different. You know, what's poverty in a country like the UK compared to... Mm. It was an eye-opener, but also I began to realise there's stuff we can contribute. It's not something we shouldn't just wring our hands and say,
sure,
hope they sort it out. We can all do something.
Yeah, that's lovely. And back to the plinth, like, what... Have you got any hopes and fears about going up there?
Well, I'm not great on heights. I'm not great on heights, so that's a bit of a challenge. I'm just hoping I have some interesting conversations. I mean, it is a bit about the participative thing. It's about trying to think of something where I can be in touch with other people in the square. Mm. I have put on the website something about Bangladesh, only today, in fact. I hadn't really thought about that, but I just think, well, if people are going to look at the website, there's just a chance, you know, that they'll click through and find out a bit more about Bangladesh. But I think it's pretty selfish, really. It's nice to be involved in something that like this, and I'm sure I'll look back on it. And also, you know, it's going to be nice to have a unique view of Trafalgar Square. Mm. Also, actually, I really have liked artichoke stuff in the past, so there's that connect. I don't know how much it's connected with artichoke now. And I love the Anthony Gormley statues on the buildings. Mm-hmm. Was it last year?
From
the Hayward Gallery exhibition. And the various other things in the Haywards. And I know, you know, he's a bit controversial at times, but I've just found it, whether you like it or dislike it, the fact that you have a huge discussion about his stuff, I think, is fantastic. So the same with this, just
so
being part of it.
You are a follower of it as well?
Yeah, definitely.
And what would you say is most important in your life at the moment?
Oh, God. I don't know. The last few years have been quite a big change for me. I mean, it makes you think about what's important. I mean, loved ones is definitely... And also, I've had a huge change about... I've never been very materialistic, but I am really shocked about how materialistic we are generally in the UK. Mm-hmm. And I've sort of tried to kind of get that in proportion for my own life. I'm still, you know, very much, you know, wedded to my comforts and luxuries, mm-hmm. but have tried a lot to be more reasonable about that, and just hope that we all are. And so those are important things about sort of maybe a lower technology. What are the important things in life? Certainly, you know, friendship and loved ones and everything. Mm-hmm. No money. There's no money in that. Material stuff in that. That's...
Yeah.
Sounds a bit pompous, all that,
yeah,
but it's
yeah,
all
yeah, yeah,
no, it's
absolutely.
Just yeah.
And I mean, in a project like this, do you think is? I mean, it's a great platform to, you know, voice these, you know.
Well, possibly. I mean, I was just thinking about. I've just been looking at the staffing around mm-hmm. here. You know, I mean, I'm sure some people are volunteers and people are not paid a lot of money, but I can see how expensive it is to do mm-hmm. this for 100 days with all the health and safety and security and publicity and stuff like that. So it's a huge amount of money. And then if you put that against what could be done with that money, say, in a developing country or whatever,
well,
it's
I think
always...
That's quite interesting. I mean, you know, what is your view on it? I mean,
well, I think it's really difficult. The debates about the big charities like Oxfam, how much money should every penny you spend go to you know, the projects, or they need to advertise and publicise things and raise debate? You know, that's always been a debate in my life, and I like it. But the thing with art is also that, you know, art is absolutely, I feel this really strongly, and going to a developing country like Bangladesh, which is really strong on music, poetry, mm-hmm. you know, visual art materials and stuff like that, all luxury, if you like,
yeah.
but it's absolutely crucial to a nation's self-respect and ethos and everything that these things happen. And it must be true for the UK as well. If we don't put money into arts projects, however controversial, we are beginning to just atrophy as a kind of a cultural mm-hmm. nation. So mm-hmm. in that sense, I think it's a difficult decision, certainly for politicians, to know how much resource to put into this rather than better transport or better schools or something. Mm-hmm. But I am pleased it's done.
I mean, for me, it's almost like being united as one, which I think is kind of the beauty of it, you know, and coming together and with everyone involved.
Well, that is the theme, isn't it? It's in that sort of, in the name, in the name is there.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, it's great.
That's a good idea.
And lastly, what's the main thing you'd say about yourself? Or if you had to, what would your friends, how would your friends describe you?
Oh, I don't know. probably fairly unpredictable, but I think I'm sort of pretty unexceptional sort of person. I think.
It seems that you're doing a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think I do get interested in things, and I think I've probably dragged people along with my enthusiasms. But you know, maybe a sort of a bit woolly round the edges, but a enthusiast.
Great. Well, thanks a lot for the interview.
Thank you.
Thank you.